Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Let me speak to Jay.
Who is?
It's Larry Hoover.
Hold on, Chief.
Stumbled across a memo on his desk stating that...
Hello?
Hey, Jay. What's happening, man?
How you doing?
Oh, good, y'all.
Everybody know.
The number to the show.
everything that you going through. You gotta have the inner strength, you gotta challenge me. You know what I'm saying? You got to. You gotta be thankful for that. Dev kind of called. Dev, I just read your message. You just got on to me. You know I'm coming back with one. I appreciate you though, fam. I was wrong, bro. I apologize. Teresa, I see you. I appreciate you for being on also. How y'all doing today? I'm your host, OG Bim Bam. And I have my co-host, Queen Kahara, on the show with me today. The topic of the show today, and I want y'all to, you know, take heed to this topic, is called unity. And the subtitle to the topic is called, "We Won't Make It Out the Struggle Without Each Other." I'm going to repeat that. We won't make it out the struggle, without each other. With that being said, I want to ask one more time for all the people who were given the number that was incorrect. If you do have that number, somebody just said they can't hear me. Let me make sure y'all can hear me. Okay, my bad. Okay, y'all. Listen, sis, I've been running my mouth. You hear me? Let me say this real quick to her before I do that. For all you people who have the number to the show, I am asking that you guys please share the information that the number was incorrect. The last four digits is 8701. We made an error on the number. It's 909-202-8701. That is the correct number for the show. We ask that those who call in throughout the week on the show, that y'all keep this number because it's going to be the same number every show because it's number for the show. And once again, I want to apologize for any inconvenience that I may have that we brought forth for the show today. Just blame it on our head because we've been really busy. There's been a lot of stuff going on this week. The devil been busy, man. It's been challenging, but we will overcome. So how are you? Good. I heard some noise.
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good.
Woo. Yeah, I apologize for that error on the flyer, and for any inconvenience that any of the callers may have had.
All good. I wanna take off. If you don't mind, I want to go and take off because this show is recorded. So for those that didn't get it, we're going to do our best to make sure that we share this information because the struggle goes on, the show goes on. With that being said, I want to give a shout out to Look, Learn, and Listen. And these GDC Incorporated guys, man, we appreciate y'all. PB, I see you, baby. I see you, bro. I want to apologize for the inconvenience, but things happen for a reason. And I'm gonna take off, as I say. Unity, which is a noun, is defined as the state of being united or joined as a whole. And the synonyms attached to this word is union, unification, integration, and amalgamation. I said it right at the time, see. Amalgamation is defined as the action, process, or result of combining or uniting. Throughout the show, I want y'all to pay attention to that word, unity. Not just because it's the title of the show, because it's the point that's trying to be made today with this show. To all you guys who have family members that's on the show, that's on the inside, for all the family members that allowed the guys on the inside to tune in, this show is for you. This show is for all communities of people who tuned in today. It doesn't matter who you are, what you claim, what you believe in, you're a creation of God. And I want to move on by saying that in the state of Illinois, there was a guy by the name of Melvin Head Haywood. May he rest in peace. He was incarcerated in a place called Tams Correctional Center. It was a prison where leaders, and I'm not going to say gangs, leaders, organization leaders, were held to keep them from communicating with their underlings, basically soldiers, representatives, or whatever that he claimed, which was Gangster Disciple, may I add. He communicated with gang members of all types as an interrupter for anti-violence group called Ceasefire. Ceasefire was celebrated for its success in stopping street violence in a documentary called The Interrupters. It was not just him. It was a guy by the last name of Johnson, who was a CVL, and a guy by the last name of Sanchez, who was a 2-6 gang member. Mr. Haywood did 8 years in solitary confinement, Supermax. He served 30 years. The prison that he was in, it had no yard for rec call. It had no cafeteria. It had no classrooms or a chapel. It was designed for sensory deprivation. There were no phone calls, no communal activities, no contact visits were allowed. The only time they was allowed out of their cell was for shower and exercise, which the exercise pen was made of all concrete. No windows, no visibility at all. The food was pushed through a slot in the bottom of the door. Okay, in the accumulation of this whole situation, in the accumulation of this whole situation, prisoners of this prison became victims of depression, hallucination, self-inflicted wounds, and suicide. Society labeled these guys the worst of the worst. As the story goes, if some of you people are people that research, look up House Bill 6651. House Bill 6651 is in the state of Illinois, where it was drawn up. I want to say this too. Also, the AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, and the Towns Poetry Committee, which was a committee created by people on the outside who got wind of what those guys were going through. Y'all pay attention because y'all know the Bim Bim make a point, right? These people on the outside found out how these guys were living, and they knew that it was going to be difficult to communicate with them because they knew how the state felt about their prison and the guys on the inside. So they came up with a way of communicating with them by forming a program of allowing them to write poetry. They discovered through those guys' poetry messages of the things that they went through. So as that progressed, they came with a program where they would let the guys pick one picture of anything that they wanted, and they would send it to them. You had a guy that asked for a picture of a cross. And the reason why he wanted the picture of the cross because he felt like he wanted to save his soul because he didn't feel like he was going to make it out of that prison. You had people that wanted pictures of food because it had been so long since they had seen things like French fries, hamburgers, hot dogs. These guys lived their whole entire time in that prison, never knowing what the next guy looked like. It was that maximum security. They had no ways of actually seeing. Long story short, in January 2013, that prison closed after only, listen to me, after only 15 years of operation. 15 years. For you guys that are incarcerated in MSP, Mississippi State Penitentiary, Parchman opened up in 1905. 114 years of torment from slavery to modern day slavery. I researched for you guys, man. It took, I said like this, it only takes a spark to start a flame. It took individuals' feelings, emotions, worries, pain, written on paper, to get the attention of people on the outside. And once they got the attention of people on the outside that cared, understand that I want to emphasize that word, that cared, these guys were allowed to have better conditions and eventually shut a prison down that tormented people for years, decades. Well, I say a decade and a half. Nipsey Hussle, I'm gonna move on. Nipsey Hussle, this brother in his passing, I found out that he had part ownership in Las Vegas resorts and casinos. He owned a clothing store, but his clothing store was a technology, state-of-the-art store. He had it where if you had an app on your phone, which was his app, and you went over the emblem on his shirts or clothing, that it would play a video. All these videos had messages about things like, it was hidden messages, things that people would see would help better their lives and strengthen their lives. This brother was a Crip, I say this once again. He was a gang member. This brother felt the need to open the eyes of his community that if we came together, if we loved one another, if we used our resources amongst each other, the battles that we face will be amongst each other, and as a village, we can get through them. I'm trying to make a point. You don't have to die to make a difference. It doesn't have to take your past. It doesn't have to take you losing your life to make a difference. It only takes a person to look at themselves and realize within themselves that they won't change. If every individual took upon their responsibility and said, okay, I'm tired of the way we live and I'm tired of the stuff that we go through, I'm tired of my people suffering. If everybody did that, we wouldn't suffer. Because there are ways to and around problems. Everything doesn't have to resolve in violence. It doesn't have to be resolved with ignorance. We have to utilize what God has given us, man. Our hearts. A lot of reasons why we don't make it in society, man, it's basically because of our own kind, our own people, our own community. We're quick to tear each other down before we build each other up. I wanted to play this part of this documentary on this brother so y'all can hear some of the guys from his neighborhood speak on this man's behalf. It was brothers, at the end of it, the brother said, I'm getting tears in my eyes because his brother died in the hood that he tried to save by his own people. His own people. We Martin, Malcolm, Nipsey, other guys, and it's not even a race thing. It's the people that you have the most faith in nowadays will hurt you. Sometimes we have to learn how to be able to see things, learn, execute the plans that we have for our lives without allowing outside or interruptions. Because if somebody wants to see you succeed, they're going to congratulate you. They're going to assist you. They're going to be there for you. Unity is love, man. It's love. Unity is embracing the fact that we are all the same. We all have the same cause. It's not hard. But thus far, it's been the hardest thing to accomplish. But most of all, unity is the key to success as a people. Unity is power. Unity is growth and development. Unity is amazing, man. Since I'm almost there, I want to say this. I've been studying, I've been reading, I've been researching, right? and I heard something that I have to share with y'all. When you can fly above the circumstances of your life, it produces envy by those who haven't yet learned to fly. If you see somebody with wings, it's not your job to clip them. Your job is to let them fly. If we walk the way we're supposed to walk in life, we'll eventually have wings too. Once you discover who you're supposed to be in life and your purpose in life, all purposes in life all coincide and are adjacent to the benefit of not just yourself, but of others. If we realize that we are born to give service, we wouldn't have the issues that we have. We wouldn't have hate. We wouldn't have jealousy, envy, greed, negativity. We wouldn't have none of that stuff because your spirit wouldn't allow you to be that way. We point fingers a lot at each other, but sometimes we have to look at things within ourselves and correct ourselves. This show is for the community, but it's also a platform for these guys on the inside who are fighting for their lives. They hurt, they suffer, they cry, but together they're strong. They haven't given up. We've lost many, but they are still there. With that being said, sis, I would like for you to give us your take on unity. But it's sad. It's very sad because life should be better than this. You know what I'm saying? It should be better than this. It should be to where people will love one another. You know what I'm saying? And to see people outside, gang members, they used to try to kill each other, gang bang, all this stuff, coming together in peace because a brother lost his life. It shouldn't be no more excuses behind stuff like that. With that being said, I yield, sis. How you doing today?
I'm good, Brother Bim Bim, and thank you so much for sharing and for starting the broadcast off in such a unifying way, because it all starts with us being able to have a dialogue with each other, you know, and we hear it all the time, you know, we need to come together, we need to unify. Well, you know, the unity that we're showing and conducting this broadcast tonight is important. And we need to tap into that energy, the unity that our brothers and sisters are showing by calling in and supporting us in any way that they possibly can shows that we are definitely coming together, that we are, you know, in the age of Aquarius. We can't help but come together because those of us that continue to ignore the spirit and the energies that are manifesting on a minute-to-minute, second-by-second basis, whether it's, you know, through conversations like this, whether it's through interactions with each other that we have in person, whether it's on social media, wherever it is, it's up to us to take advantage of that opportunity to connect, you know, and to use that energy in a positive way that's going to continue to allow us to grow and develop. So, you know, you and I means becoming one. And wherever there are more than one, two people united, the opportunity to become one is there. So, you know, thank you again for starting to broadcast off in such a positive way to help uplift and enlighten us on, you know, the energy that's out there and the energy that we need to be taking advantage of. And I yield with that. And the opportunity for the callers to participate too, Brother Bim Bim, you know, if they do, they know that they can push the number one and come on into the conversation because we need to hear from them too, you know, because it's going to take more than just one or two voices for this thing to happen. And with that, I yield.
Oh, good. We will most definitely, allow the callers to call in today and elaborate on the show and anything they would like to add. we do have a time frame, so we ask that the callers respect that and allow others to be able to opinionate and give their advice or assistance or whatever they would like to give during the show. With that being said, I apologize. Excuse me, y'all know how I've been in the box. Dale, listen, I can't slip with Dale, you hear me? I can't, he don't let me make it, you hear me? But that's my guy, man, I love him to death, you hear me? And it's funny because it's good to have people like that. It's good to have people to uplift when you're down. It's good to have people to show you better ways to deal with situations. And it's a brotherhood, you know what I'm saying? Like, this unity thing is bigger than just marching, rallying. It starts at home. It starts in the community. It starts with self, you know what I'm saying, and one another. And it's crazy. Our ancestors came here on the ship together, right? But we separated.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy that it's that difficult to get people to care about their own kind. Bim Bim go preach today. I want y'all to be prepared for that because it's real. It's serious. When I say guys are fighting for their lives, I'm finna give y'all an opportunity to understand what I mean by that. We're going to hit y'all with letter one. And PB's on today too, see? I got my little brother on today, so I'm going to get a chance to get my brother give y'all some intel too on some things that we had him research for the listeners and viewers. With that being said, I want to welcome my brother Dale to the show. Dale, how you doing, fam?
All good, family, all good. I'm here, I'm able, and I'm willing, you know.
All the time, that's all I need.
All good, how you doing, sis?
I'm well, brother. Good to hear your voice. Welcome.
All good, thank you, thank you. So, y'all, let's listen. Well, the second I came to visit this show is called Letters from Prison. And my first letter, it begins
hey,
like
I'll,
this.
Hold on one second, family, one second. And I hate to interrupt you. Make sure, because you know you talk fast. I had an older lady get on to me, told me, tell that boy to slow down.
No problem.
So I want you to kind of slow down for him, but give it to him, fam. My year, bro.
All good. My first letter begins like this. Hello, how are you? I can only pray my letter finds you and the family well. By the grace of God, I'm blessed to see another day. I love you. Just sitting here thinking. I was reading the newspaper. It's crazy how MDOC has had 16 deaths back to back, and nobody has any answers. I'm very concerned because I was sentenced to life here, and I don't want my death to be unknown and mysterious. The people in society are really concerned because they don't really know. They don't know that Mississippi State Penitentiary Department has a doctor, Dr. Santos, that is blind and should not be employed as a doctor anywhere. It's like a concentration camp. The food company Trendy is no joke. A tide of complaints has surfaced around Florida-based Trendy Food Group, one of the largest food service providers to correctional facilities in the nation. At issue is the provision of the adequate, nutritious, and healthy meals, since one study has found prisoners are more likely 6 times to contract a foodborne illness than non-prisoners after switching in 2015 from Amarac, another major food service provider. The Michigan Department of Corrections fined Trendy $3.8 million for staff shortage, unauthorized meal substitution, and other violations, including an incident in which prison kitchen workers were ordered by Trinity managers to sort a bag of raw potatoes and discard just the maggot-infested one. I know this is the same medical company, the Centurion, the same one that employs Mississippi State Penitentiary's blind Dr. Santos. State leaders not know this. In other states, there are complaints against state officials for failing to correctly take steps, despite having knowledge that the company is providing reckless and negligence of medical care. Instead, in conspiracy with Centurion, the correction departments routinely deny medical grievance. They are the same company Mississippi has used taxpayer dollars for, no cause, but they place inmates' lives at risk. I am working with some guys, and we have been working to bring awareness to these things. Every day I feel compelled to tell someone of this injustice because I am living. I love you, and I hope to get to see you soon. Just please know that the things I have told you are true. These people are really serious, and our lives do not matter to them. With that, I end letter one. Thank you.
All good. Hold on 1 second, Deb. Sis. Where you at, Tyre? I'm tripping right now. Okay. Because I want you to hear this real good. Repeat for the listeners the instructions that that woman gave that inmate about those potatoes that they were serving those inmates. Take your time and repeat it for the artist can get the full effect of what she instructed this guy to do.
They had a bag of maggot-infested rotten potatoes, and one of the Trinity food managers gave the inmates direction to sort through the bag and just sort out the rotten ones and place them to the side. They would serve the rest of them.
All good. Now, if you listen to that and you cringed or frown up or said, or anything to that nature, I love you. You know what I'm saying? If I love you. Don't matter who you are, because that is crazy.
Yeah.
That is
wow.
Sahara.
Yes.
Listen, man.
I mean, that's less than inhumane. You wouldn't feed an animal something like that, let alone a human being.
I'm trying to grasp that. You got to understand that, like, if stuff like that, when you hear that, doesn't affect you, something is wrong, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is the title. That's what the unity, right? We can't make it out the what? The struggle without who? Each other. When you hear stuff like this, it is supposed to compel you to care. You're supposed to care regardless, but it's supposed to compel you to care enough to be concerned and act upon it. See, MDOC has been notorious for hiding things like this, but they're quick to talk about how the inmates are called the worst of the worst. They all they want to do is get contraband, this and that. Okay, but what about how y'all treating them? What about the people
mm-hmm.
that pay taxes every day, that vote to put people in position to prevent stuff like this? What are they doing? What are they doing? You have a commissioner that just he's doing fed time right now for allowing things like this to happen. How's he doing time? And you have a new commissioner, and it's gotten worse. It's gotten worse. I want y'all to think about that. Thank you, Dale. You gonna be back, y'all, with letter number two. PB Thug, I wanna get these continue to hit these people with some intel. And I wanna make sure that we get these callers in also. If you guys have any questions, the alternative line is 228-234-2202 for any questions. Please add your name to the question, and I say the last four digits of your phone number, so that we can try to get you guys in the show. That's 228-234-2202. PB.
Yes, sir. Yes.
PB,
yes,
where you
yes,
at, bro?
Yes, I am. I'm right
good.
Here, man. I'm
all
right
good.
Here.
Oh, good. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. How y'all doing today, man?
We doing good. Hey, sis, this is a short one right here. You hear me? This is a little bit of one. This is a short one, sis. You hear me? I had to let her know, fam. We had a midget on the team, fam. But with that being said, you know, I'm going to get out the way. Just check my little brother out. Let's ride, PB.
All right, man. Oh, today, man, I will let y'all know about a word called intrinsic, or basically meaning unwilling to compromise. And, you know, this department, MDOC department, Mississippi Department of Correction, have a lot of situations that could be elaborated on that. But I want to kind of bring up a situation concerning Chad Pickerson, which is currently incarcerated in Richland County private facility that is ran by MTC that is also understaffed and untrained. This inmate in Mississippi went on an 11-day hunger strike at this prison in Wilkinson County. And not only that, this inmate was transferred to the state prison, which is Mississippi State Prison. And after being diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder. And it's basically it's an illness dealing with the personality. This inmate Chad Pickerson made numerous complaints and issues concerning the irritation of his skin, dryness of his skin, eczema symptoms while incarcerated in Wixon County private facility. And why also why he was transferred in the state facility. Now, the downfall about that, this inmate went through all this transition, screaming about medical condition of itself concerning his skin, going through the exhaustion, all the remedies that he could possibly do to obtain some type of medical treatment. Now, this inmate, Pickerson, has filed a 1983 civil suit form against MBOC. Concerned Dr. Cooper, when he had ordered a hound dog shot and a Benadryl shot in separate serums shots in separate different forms. And this case was very sad and because this inmate basically was crying out for help concerning irritation of the skin and his skin disease. He also made numerous complaints dealing with boils between his into guys that he also had visual notification, and by him going through all this proper procedures or in the effort of receiving treatment, to sum it all up, what made it very sad is the man had to go through a hunger strike, 11-day hunger strike, lost 8 pounds, and was transferred into another state prison. Basically, Wichita County was tied up and was fed up with him and transferred him to another facility and allow another facility to deal with the headache. Once that facility had him, which was MSP, Mississippi State Penitentiary, they had to go about doing it their particular way as far as treatment. They refused to give him any type of treatment at that particular time that he simply requested for. So when he had exhausted his remedies concerning ARPs or MA request forms, basically, the legal steps that you have to do within the prison system, he was delayed, procrastinated about. Now, understanding the issue concerning this matter, should nobody have to go through a hunger strike because they had irritation of the skin or some type of eczema symptoms that are basically that's hard, you know, irritating of the skin because you have a lot of factors within these facilities that pretty much have a cause to these type of affections to the skin concerning the mold on the wall, concerning contaminated water, concerning old bacteria that floats around in the air. I mean, it's a lot of issues that that a lot of inmates deal with, but this particular issue found the need to go on a hunger strike, 11-day hunger strike, in effort to get some of the simplest medical treatment, which is A&D ointment, which is some type of lotion for irritated skin and for the dryness of his skin. Now, that is not the saddest part about the hunger strike. After he went through the ordeal concerning the hunger strike, like I said, he was shipped to another prison, and they forcefully, means like they wrestled him down or contained him and gave him a hound dog shot and a Benadryl shot. I guess he became out of control, but once you research on this candidate, you will see that this candidate has a history of pretty much not too much nonviolence, or he only just requested for medical treatment. Now, not only did this cause a long-term effect But the symptoms that it caused led up to abdominal pain, hypertension, memory loss, nausea, prolonging about the bowels, weight gain, vomiting, or motorless, or a year of suffering, abnormal behaviors, eating disorder, overreactive bladder, continuous starving, or with the temple, or frequency chest pain, or neuromuscular derotation, different types of long-term effect was caused by this forcefulness of these hound dog shots. And basically, a hound dog shot is basically a hyperperidol that's basically for people that are diagnosed with psychiatric treatments, or basically other terms is mental health, if they have mental health issues. But during the period of time that he was forcefully seduced to receive these type of shots, he was never diagnosed with that, with no type of mental illness, no type of mental health problems. And it's sad because the system will blind you from the legal things that they basically do. And when the inmate find courage of itself to exhaust all the remedies of going through the court cases, going through the system itself to reach some type of remedy, the man only requested for an A&D ointment and some lotion for irritated of the skin. Should nobody have to file numerous complaints, numerous going through administrative remedy programs to seek some type of relief in effort of getting his skin treatment? Should nobody have to go through the United States Supreme Court or the state court itself to exhaust these remedies as far as some type of relief concerning treatment? And that's what makes it, the whole matter itself is sad, because if I was incarcerated and I needed medical treatment and I was denied that due to the process, or they felt that I didn't need it, or they choose to find ways to gain more taxpayer money by requesting me to be on some type of medicine that they're not paying for themselves and that they are using the taxpayer money to pay for, that's what makes it a crisis for society, because taxpayers should understand where their money is going to. Taxpayers should realize that their money that they are paying supposed to go towards the health and the well-being of each inmate, not just within Mississippi, but also in other states. Mississippi is sad because they're behind time. Mississippi is sad because their way of treating inmates is basically not treating inmates, it's forcing your treatment, or hiring or untrained doctors in certain avenues, because you have nurses that have to take the position of a doctor sometimes in efforts of getting medical treatment. You have issues concerning filing paperwork, speaking about court, speaking about all filing paperwork that's inside the court to seek some type of remedy. When this man filed a 1983 civil suit form in efforts of seeking relief, his only relief was a temporary restraint order. He was denied. He was default denied, or when he filed a complaint. Then the court itself procrastinated it, and he has to refile it within the United States Supreme Court, and they forced the courts within Mississippi or clerk to admit it to be filed, and the remedy that he only got was a temporary restraint against these individuals that forcibly gave him a hound dog shot and a Benadryl shot. But it was claimed that during the 11-day hunger strike that this individual was requesting for food or requesting for somebody to sneak him food, as if like he was stunting, in other words. But even if that was claimed is true, should nobody have to feel the necessary that I would rather starve myself before I go through this pain? Or I should have to starve myself to let these administrative staff and doctors also understand that this is serious. I am not faking. This is no joke. This is no playing matter with me. And that's what's so crazy right now, because inmates, not just that particular inmate, but all inmates pretty much have to go through this procedure and process. And if an inmate feels the need that he has to call, if he has to find a way as for self-mutilate himself, means cut himself or hang himself or cause any type of bodily harm, whether it's mentally or physically, to get some type of medical treatment, then it's sad. And I yield behind that, sister. What do you have, Mr. Bebel?
Oh, good. Sahara, where you at, sis? Because you already know I got something to say, right? Where you at?
Yeah, okay. Help yourself. I mean, there's no accountability,
hold on, exactly, but check it out, right? Like, I commend that brother for his strength, but you're not finna make me take no hound dog shot. This is the Bim Bim talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just being all the way real. That's not cool. I don't even understand how a shot that was created for an animal can be administered to an inmate, a human being.
See, it's deeper than just, you know, how they do the food, how they keep these guys locked down. Like, you can't even be sick in the system in Mississippi and seek any type of assistance without the threat or the fear of not making it out of there. Since you know I'm finna let you speak, you know I talk too much. But anyway, Bim Bim, listen. If you got guys, rest in heaven, big words. I love my brother, man. This guy I knew myself personally. He was incarcerated. He was at Rankin County, which is CMCF, Central Mississippi Correctional Facility. And he was transferred to Madison County's satellite. Everybody, including his family, knew this brother was healthy. When he made it there, a few hours later, he was found unresponsive. That's uncalled for. The investigation on that, we've heard nothing about it. The family is seeking justice, and that's just one example, which is a great example to me, because I say this guy's a brother to me. That these people, to me, like I said last time, since I'm not afraid to say it, they're practicing genocide with these guys, because if you have 16 people die, and for the most part you can't tell why, the only thing you can say to the public is natural causes, that is a crisis. That is a state of emergency where the feds need to come in and investigate these people. I said at the beginning of this show that it took guys who couldn't even hardly communicate with the public to write letters and get the attention of people on the outside, who after 15 years of operation got their place shut down. It only takes a spark to start a flame. These guys are crying for help. As difficult as it may seem, it's not hard. It only takes unity. It only takes a lot of people standing that these guys do not deserve to be treated that way. They do not deserve to be treated that way. It's going to take people with hearts, people to care, people to go to MDOC headquarters and let these people know that they've heard too much, to go to the governor and let him know that they've heard too much, to go to these politicians that y'all vote in office, that y'all trust to make sure that things are done the way they're supposed to, that y'all can live better in this state. They need to be held responsible for the things that these guys are going through. That is the only way to stop that. It's crazy, but they hate publicity. that points fingers at them. All the publicity where they've got this done and helped this and that, or they love that. They got ads and commercials for this. But they don't like when their own faults is put in their face. Amalgamation. The action, process, or result of combining and uniting. This is going to tell y'all, I ain't even know how to pronounce that word the right way early. It's a huge word. The definition is not that huge, but the meaning and the purpose is gargantuan. We have to learn a way to realize that we have to stop being selfish. We have to start caring more. You know what I'm saying? Because these guys are people's sons. I say this all the time on every show. Fathers, brothers, stepdads, cousins, uncles. They are somebody's loved ones. They punished when the judge gave them that time. They're not supposed to continue to suffer. If they are supposed to continue to suffer here in Mississippi, then Tam Correctional Facility in Illinois would have never been shut down. Even the people that wanted that place to stay up because they was benefiting financially off of it had to realize that the conditions of this place are inhumane. Now, on the last show, we talked about how guys in Unit 29 of MSP had infestations of rats, insects, mold, you know, contaminated water, and all these things we discussed, right? Okay, these living conditions continue on. These are the current living conditions. We're not telling y'all stories of things that happened in the past. If you check and just, you know, check on your people, you will see that this stuff is going on the inside right now. They starving these guys. Sometimes these guys in 29 might not get dinner 12, 1 o'clock at night. Breakfast 12. Lunch 7 at night. That's not how you feed somebody. And then they turn right back around and give them breakfast again like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. See? Just think about the psychological way they're doing it to hire. You see what I'm saying? It's like they trying to make these guys go through the stuff they're going through. And it's gotten to the point to where if people don't realize that, for one, it's black people. I have to say this. You have, MSP might have two Caucasian officers that work on that staff. I'm talking about as officers. Everything else works there is black. Last week, I sent, remember that picture I sent you, sis? I'm going to try to find it. I want to be verbatim about it when I say what she said. But it was a female that got on social media and made a profound statement. This statement was captured and it was reported. And I want to read this to the listeners. This young lady, who was a correctional officer at Mississippi State Penitentiary, stated on her Facebook page during a challenge by the name of Feeling Cute. This was called the Feeling Cute Challenge. She stated, "I might search your homeboy's cell and step on all of his noodles. I don't know." And then she did the emoji where you know how they shrug the shoulders with the hands, you know, pointing east and west. Okay. Now, somebody might listen to that and be like, "Well, I hate to say this because I hope it's not, but I'm going to say it in a way." Said, might say, "Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad for you if you feel that way, but for the mother, the sister, the auntie, the uncle, the dad, the grandfather, whoever it was in his family that put that money on his book so that he could have some noodles to eat to keep him from having to eat stuff like potatoes that has come from bags full of maggots, that's not her right to do that."
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have that authority to touch any of those guys property, in that manner. That is something that individual or whoever she intended or whoever she felt like that was directed to was for them to enjoy and have, to have some type of normalcy within their confinements of their cells. So So if you got somebody that's young, because this individual, if I'm not mistaken, is like in between like 22 to 25 years old. You have people that young that think that way. We have an issue way bigger than, and this is a black woman also, way bigger than what we realize. These are people looking at their own people this way.
Mm-hmm.
Sis, can you elaborate? Because, I mean, as a female, you know, I know how big you are on the queens and things like that. I mean, for the female listeners that's listening, elaborate on that for me.
Well, when I first heard about it, I found it hard to wrap my mind around, just to be honest, that in this day and time when the oppressor has made it clear that they have absolutely no respect for us, no regard for us, especially as Africana melanated women, to see these sisters step forward like this in this way and then on top of that call it cute, I mean, it's just something that's beyond anything that we can imagine, that we even should be going through right now. We should be coming together. We should be unifying around the things that are going to make us stronger, not things that are going to divide us. And I'm sure that there are going to be some consequences and repercussions from the community when these sisters, because they're not at these facilities 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They still have to come out into the community, and I have some concern for their safety, because these just aren't the days to be playing these kinds of mind games, if you will, on anybody, but especially us as Africana melanated women. We're better than this. We're much better than this, and it says a lot for the matriarchs, if you will, that brought these sisters up, that whatever. Give them the concept that something like this would be right. And I yield with that.
Cool. Shout out to Way in New York, man. I see you, Mo. I see you. I want to say this, too. Like, if my mom was listening to Hiram, you know how you know your own people, right? See,
uh-huh.
I try to not let my mom know the extent of what those guys go through in the penal system in Mississippi, right? And I know, you know how you know, like I say, you know your people. She probably making those little sounds like, you know, she's very spiritual. She's probably like, you know, like that's a shame,
mm-hmm.
you know. Ain't no
mm-hmm.
way, you know. If you have those type of reactions, for all you guys and that have people on the outside that's on the inside that's had the three-way call to listen in, listen. Those people like that are the people that you need listening. Those people like that are the ones that you have to buckle down and allow them to see what's really going on. Because it's going to take unity, but it's also going to take people that are leaders. It's going to take people that actually care. You can't worry about the ones that don't care. You see
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? We can sit and fuss and gripe all day about the people that's not going to do nothing, that's either here or there. But we have to reach out and inform the people that know, that we know, are going to do something about it. You know what I'm saying? And it's amazing because my mom is listening on this show. I love you, baby. Thank you for calling in too, Teresa. It's people on this show that got hearts. I thank all the parents, friends, loved ones that called in to listen to this show. We're going to proceed, but I just want y'all to take hold to this word unity. These guys need that. They need that from the communities on the outside. Because they fighting a war together on the inside just to survive. With that being said, Deb, I know you're ready for this letter number two. We're going to move on because once he get through, we're going to try to see what these callers and his listeners have to say about what they've heard so far. With that being said, Brother Deb, how you doing, fam?
All good. How
Deb,
you doing, fam?
Okay, all good. We good, fam. Letter number
good.
Two. Let's ride, baby.
All right, I'm going to bring you back with letter number two. Letter number two. Dear Dad, I just want to say I love you. Today I want to say that I'm sorry and know that I don't look at you different because you are there. It took me years, along with my experience working inside the system, to realize that you, along with a million other guys, are pawns. As correctional officer, I learned that no matter what we were taught, that no matter what we were taught from day one to hate the inmates. We were taught that they were monsters and savage animals. We were trained to abuse them, yet I learned that these inmates were still human, still citizens of our country. After graduating law school, I worked for the district attorney as a prosecutor, and I saw so many innocent guys targeted and sent through the system unjustly. I've seen DAs and attorneys make deals with guys' freedoms, guys' lives. I've seen innocent guys get sent to prison for life because he couldn't afford to hire a private attorney. I've seen people guilty walk free because of family titles, allowances, and favors and secrets. I've seen prisons used as a form of genocide. I thought of you so much. So yesterday I resigned my position as a district attorney, and I would dedicate myself as well as all available resources to getting you free and bringing awareness to the injustice that I know firsthand goes on right here. I just want to say that I love you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you this weekend. Love you.
I said.
Tell them what that means, sis.
It is so. The Christians use the word amen or amen, but that's a Yoruba word that means it is so. Ashe.
Man. Listen, Dale, where you at, bro? Can you hear me? Are you still on, Dale? I think he might have fell off.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's amazing. I want y'all, our listeners, man, to understand like how serious this is. Like, I'm not gonna like sugarcoat it. I'm not go like let up because, like I say, this show is dedicated to, you know, we're trying to save lives, man. We trying to get these guys better living conditions, you know. Like I said one time before, everybody that's incarcerated is not guilty of the crime they're convicted of. You have a very crooked judicial system in the state of Mississippi. You have a lot of guys that have been swapped out. These people play games in the courtrooms too. It doesn't just start in the prison system. It starts in the process that send guys to the prison system. This recidivism thing, man, is serious. It's very serious.
Brother Denver.
Sis, you want to elaborate on that? Go ahead. I just
want you to explain what swapped out means, because anybody that's not familiar with the judicial system might not know what that term means. And it might help shine more light on the fact that there are so many, why there's so many innocent people incarcerated. So can you talk about that just a little bit and describe what it means?
All right, I gotta catch up because I gotta shake this. You know, I gotta get Bim Bim back. That stuff make you emotional, man. Okay, I'm gonna give y'all a quick scenario. Dev, you know I'm gonna use you. All right, me, right? Just say for instance, these people have charged me with writing a check, right? Some, you know, simple as far as crime is considered, writing a check for $500 or something like that. Okay, cool. All right. Well, here is Dale. He didn't did everything. You know what I'm saying? He didn't commit robbery. He didn't sold drugs. He got like three charges pending. They didn't even caught him in Walmart trying to steal goldfish. So boom, right? He got three felonies. Dale has money though. Okay. No. I have money. Dale don't have money. Dev is affiliated. Dev is a guy that the police want off the streets. So here I come. Man, I just put myself in the midst of a situation with this. Here I come. You know, I got the money. I done paid this high-turn lawyer. And my attorney tells me, I guarantee that you're going home. Now, I told him I did this.
You know I'm guilty. You see what I'm saying? Lawyer, client, confidentiality. Okay. What the court system does is the district attorney would go to Dale's lawyer, who is cool with my lawyer, and say, look, man, this guy y'all got, Bim Bim,
he good, man. You know what I'm saying? But this guy right here, Dale, he's a problem. You know what I'm saying? We've been trying to get him for a long time, man, for a long time.
This is what I need you to do. You remember when we talked about on the golf course? Look, we're gonna get Dale, man. You're gonna have to let us get Dale, man. But this other guy that you got, Michael, we're gonna let him make it, man. But you gotta let us get Dale, man, because we tired of this guy. We gotta get this guy out the streets. You know what I'm saying? These people actually do that. So what would happen when they go to court, these lawyers will trick Dale like, oh man, we're gonna get you probation. You'll be home the same day, woo woo, and he'll get there in front of that judge and they'll say something like, Dale, you are mandated to 30 years in the Mississippi State Prison, 5 years on probation, 1 year suspended. Mandatory. Boom, hit the gavel. Get him out of here. That's simple. Meanwhile, I'll walk. So this same lawyer that got Dale sent off the road, here comes this other guy, Michael, who's convicted of killing a female and her kid, and they'll slide through and give him involuntary manslaughter. Oh, he did this by mistake. And give him probation, and he'll slide through the cracks. That's called swapping out. They do this in the courtroom.
Uh-huh.
True enough, it's sad in prison, but it starts in the courtroom. So you have guys in prison, and I'm glad you said this, you have guys in prison that carry the burden of knowing that they're innocent and treated like a criminal, and then got to go through all of this extra stuff that they go through each and every day in the penal system. And they say, well, I knew him. Why did he kill himself? You never know what's on a person's mind. You never know what a person's going through. And everybody handles their struggle differently. Everybody fights demons differently. You know what I'm saying? With that, sis, I want to try to give some time to let these callers call in. I tried this dial one thing, right? I want to see if it works. I want to see if it works. Do we have any callers that want to elaborate on the show at this moment in time? If you would like to, please press 1. That's what you're saying, right, sis? If not, y'all know what I do now. I'm going to pick somebody. I'm already looking at numbers now. So, if anybody would like to elaborate on the show, please hit that 1.
You know, there was a lawsuit that was before the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center about the inhumane conditions in Mississippi, but I can't find any updated information about it. So we're going to keep looking, but this establishes a pattern of behavior.
Presley versus
State.
Within
the department.
Check it out.
You said,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Presley versus State. Hold on 1 second. Let me call my guy in real quick. Little Devil, do you have that on hand? That Presley versus State? Am I saying it right?
Yes, that's the case, but I don't have it on hand to read effectively. But yes, that's the case.
How is it spelled, fam? Spell it for the listeners.
Presley.
Versus, is it Mississippi?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, when y'all look this case up, for those who research, you're going to see that this unit was labeled condemned and inoperable, right, Dale?
Yes, sir.
The main cause for this unit? Okay, cool. For the same conditions that these guys in 29 have been going through for years. So with that being said, appreciate you, Dale. With that being said, if you shut a prison down, watch this, sis. You shut a prison down, which is approximately a unit, because Unit 32 is a unit that's inside of Mississippi State Penitentiary, MSP. 29 is approximately a half a mile in yards from Unit 32. If you shut a prison down over here for having severe living conditions and all these things that we've been talking about in 29, how can you not see the same problems not even a mile away from you? Like I'm trying to simplify this thing, right? These people in Mississippi, the powers that be, are making money off of this prison. These people get almost $1 million a year for education, but those guys in MSP, since they don't get to go to school like talking about it. You see what I'm saying? They got a whole what you call, I want to call it a technical center, like a vocational center up there for those guys where they have welding and all that stuff. As for the last past 3 or 4 months, those guys haven't been going to class. But taxpayers are paying for those guys to go to class. So if this guy had it set in his mind that if he once he got out in July, that he would have, you know, I could finish my test in June and I'll get my license to be able to have a job, you know what I'm saying, or experience, you know, I have a certificate and paperwork in black and white to show that I have a welding license, right? So this guy has rehabilitated himself. He has strengthened his mind. And all he's trying to do is have some type of trade under his belt. So when he get out, he won't have to resort to negativity, street violence, hustling, selling drugs, you know, crime, right? So we have a guy that's trying to change. And these people are mandated to let these guys go to school. But because they skimming money off the top and being lazy and claiming short of staff because those teachers come to their school. I will say those teachers are reported that they come to those schools for those inmates. It's the officers who fail to take these guys to class. MSP has buses, vans, and vehicles to transport these guys. So the reason why they're not going to school is because the officers are being lazy and the administration is being lazy and not letting those officers take those guys to school. So now this brother has to get out of prison, having an opportunity to have some type of, you know, education in the background, some type of trade to be able to easily get a job. Now he's studying here in an employment office. Oh, we can't hire you because what skills do you have? Well, I was taking the class in prison. How you think that sounds to somebody that's trying to hire you? That's different from, you know, yeah, I did do time in prison. I'm going to be honest with you. I made a mistake, but throughout that time, I rehabilitated, and I have something to show that I rehabilitated because I completed this course. I completed these courses. That's a major difference from somebody that's trying to see if you work or you worthy enough. Because those people, you have to understand, these people have to think about the safety and the security of their jobs, too, now. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. You have to think about that. So you have to understand, like, when guys are pushing themselves to be positive, productive people, why is the state denying them of this right? Why are y'all taxpayers paying money for these guys to better themselves, and you have people that work here that are hired to ensure that that's done? Why are they not doing it? If I spent taxes, if I looked at my income tax, and I seen the state that missing money, I want to know, this stuff like this is supposed to make you upset. It's supposed to make you ask questions. The same way you want to know why them folks down the street, what they doing when they go back there in the backyard, because, you know, you got them, what they call it, neighborhood watch this. You got nosy people in the community. See, we asking for people to be nosy about what these guys going through, about why these individuals are dying 26 years old. That's too young to die in prison, Tyre.
I told y'all I was going to get y'all. Y'all thought I was playing. I'm trying my best. I was going to let some people make it, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a caller come in, and if you have any questions, is there anything you would like to say, feel free to do so. 334 area code. You're the only one with that area code, so obviously I'm going to pick on you real quick because we want to know what you're thinking right now. 334-559. I'm going to always give the first six numbers. I'm not going to give the last four. I'm going to change that up. Caller, are you online right now? 334-559. Are you online? Okay, I will say this too. Hey, we have some people that get stage fright. I understand that, y'all. I understand that. But we do want to know what y'all thinking. We want to know what y'all, how y'all feel about this. So with that being said, I would like to hear from people to elaborate, to let us know what are your thoughts. You know, how do you feel about the things these guys are going through? Is there any solutions, any ideas? We open the floor up for things like that because we want to know, and please don't fall off, y'all. Y'all don't have to, if you don't want to speak, hey, you got that right. We just want to hear voices of people that, you know, are concerned about those things. With that being said, call her 601-665. 601-665. Are you on, caller? 601-665. Hello. Okay. Y'all got this stage fright thing going strong right now.
Yeah, we family. We just sitting around the living room on the couch having a conversation.
All good. Call a 470-378. Call a 470-378. Are you on?
Mm-hmm.
470-378, are you on?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
How you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Is there anything you would like to say or add to the show? Okay.
I'm just enjoying what's going on.
All good. All good. All good, brother. Appreciate you for tuning in. Appreciate you for tuning in. Let me try this right here then. Y'all gotta forgive me now. Say, sis. You know I like to pick and mellow and stuff, right? So hold on one second. Caller 601-508. Are you on? Caller 601-508. Are you on?
I'm here.
Oh, good. We thought you had stage fright too, Miss Lady. How you doing today?
I'm well, thank you for asking. My thoughts on the show. I applaud all that are involved, first of all. Secondly, I just have a question for others that may be listening. What can the citizens of the state do? What can the citizens do, or what steps could they take to reach legislators or their elected officials to try to get the ball rolling to improve the conditions there, or at least begin a lawsuit or things like that?
Oh, good. Sis, would you like to elaborate before I speak on that?
I yield to you, brother.
Oh, good. There are so many different ways to act upon things like this. Phone calls, emails, scheduled appointment visits. These politicians like senators, governors, lieutenant governors, even the mayors. I want to say this also. The church, the Muslim sisters and brothers, the Christian sisters and brothers, just people of the community to come together, to contact these people and give these people facts, give these people things that you heard today, research. For those who are in communication with guys that are incarcerated, ask them questions. You guys that are incarcerated who have been blessed to hear this show, y'all guys let y'all family members know what's going on and compile this information. If you are doing it in the form of a written letter, I always make you a copy so they can't lie and say you haven't made their complaint, because we've been told they do that often. Email the commissioner. These city hall meetings that they have, go and make complaints, because it starts, like I say, a small fire, a small spark ignites a big fire. These people, these politicians that we have calling, they are put in a position to make things like these stop. Mississippi has something called a corrections committee. These are the people that sit in the Senate, and they decide what goes on in prison and what don't supposed to go on in prison. It is mandated that the people who are looking for any type of way to assist these guys make sure that they find a way to communicate with these people. These clergymen, they have something called Clergymen for Reform. Please look this up. Clergymen for Reform in Mississippi. These people have taken on the task, too, to fight against what's been going on in MDOC, because there was alarmed by the number of deaths. So to answer your question, ma'am, it takes effort.
It takes people to make calls, emails, visits, talk to the people that you know that care about things like this, and just stay vigilant about it. Stay consistent. Don't let up, because they used to people making a few phone calls and quitting, and they give up. You know what I'm saying? This has to stop. We're going to also provide some intel for you people who have further questions on that. That same number that was given out. If you have any questions, please text that number. Sahara, do you also have any intel you want to give?
Yes. You mentioned calling the commissioner. The commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Corrections, her name is Felisa E. Hall. And both on the inside, they have something called the Administrative Remedy Program, which is supposed to be like a last resort once you try to resolve it informally, I guess within the facility themselves, but there's no link or anything. But her mailing address for the Commissioner Felisa E. Hall at the MDOC is 633 North State Street, Jackson, Mississippi, 39202, and the phone number is 601-359-5600. And Felisa is spelled P. This looks like a P. P-E-L-I-C-I-A.
Yes.
Her last name is Hall.
Yes.
And don't let up on these people. You're absolutely right, Brother Bim Bim. When they get one or two calls, they don't do too much of anything. But when they get, you know, their phones and their emails and their fax machines all saying the same message, that the art of public attendance matters, then they have a tendency to want to do something about it, because these people, let's face it, they're administrative heavy in their budget, so more than likely these people are getting paid to just kind of lull around in these positions. So make them do some work. The Administrative Remedy Program, the Mississippi Department of Corrections, again, the address is 633 North State Street, Jackson, Mississippi, 39202. The phone number is 601-359-5600, and I yield with that.
All good. That Administrative Remedy Program is a program that those guys on the inmate, just like on the inside, just like PB was stating. That's what those guys use as, it's like a complaint form, a grievance form, I'd rather say. They have a policy to that, and when they fill it out, I'm glad you brought that up too, sis. When they fill those AIPs out and they send them in with their complaints, they really have to make a copy, because some of those guys never even hear back from those people. So basically, on the inside, they can't even get a solution for their problems through the same people that are designed or hired to solve those problems. These people, these guys fill out these ARP forms, and they make them go through steps just to reject them on the last step. You know what I'm saying? And their disciplinary procedures, I want to state this too, are the same. At one point in MSP, they had a lieutenant by the last name of Terry. She came on one of those guys' zone and stated that the warden instructed her to find everybody guilty. And guys were going along complaining about this, but it never stopped. You would have inmates saying things, having RVRs, which is a rule violation report. That's what they use to write them up. You know what I'm saying? What they do is they go before their hearing for whatever they've been charged with. They're automatically found guilty. They take all of their privileges at once, sis, meaning they take the commissary, the visitation, and they take the telephone privileges. Okay, for those who know about law, that's double jeopardy. You don't post to punish a person more than one time for the same, you know, situation. They take them up to a year at a time. That's excessive. And once these guys file their complaints through the same inmate legal assistance program, once they file their complaint about this, they file an appeal, they're mostly rejected. And you'll have guys that write statements for those guys like, okay, this guy didn't do this, I did this, I'm holding up for it. And they still won't accept that as a statement or as the truth. So it's like they have no way to win regardless. The show is about to close. But I want to say this. Imagine if you was in a 6x12 cell and you was going through all of these things. And everywhere you turn for help, everywhere you reach for help, it was nothing. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you look at your tray and your eggs is full of water. Your biscuit is hard as a brick. You got a piece of bologna on the tray and it's like 4 different colors. You might just open your milk up and it's spoiled. I'm stating facts to y'all that's listening. Then you don't have no commissary. You don't have nobody out there to send you anything. Or your parents or family don't have money like that at the time. So you basically have to survive with what they give you. And the next time you eat again, it's 7 o'clock at night. You've already been 5 days without taking a shower because they say they're short of staff. You haven't been outside and smelled fresh air in over a year because they say it's short of staff. You haven't had a haircut in 6 months. You went from a T.I. to a Wycliffe in 6 months. Because they won't even walk you 20 yards to the gym where they have the barbershop located. You're staying short of staff, but you'll get woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning being shook down with 30, 40 officers in there all of a sudden looking for cell phones. MDOC is playing a game with these guys. It's dangerous. It's detrimental to these guys' health. It's crazy. The result of the things that these guys go through, I stated at the beginning of this show, hallucination. Hallucination, self-inflicted wounds, depression, and suicide. The same things that those guys in town were going through. In 15 years, this place was shut down in Illinois. For 114 years, these guys in Mississippi State Penitentiary have been going through almost the same exact conditions. If you have a community in Illinois, which is supposed, you know, all this supposed to be a violent area, like they say, you got beautiful parts of Illinois, I want to state. But if you have people that saw that then, which was like 2013, if those people came together and got that place shut down, what has been going on for 114 years in Mississippi? What has been going on in the world of people that know about this? We got to do better as a people, man. And the only way that we're going to do better as a people is realize that we need each other to make it. And realize that other people need you to be who you are to help them make it. We're not going to do this without unity, people. With that, we're going to close the show. This has been the Movement 720. I'm your host, OG Bim Bim. We have my sister, Queen Tahira, as my co-host. Dale PB, we appreciate you. We appreciate all you listeners that tuned in for your time, okay, your patience, and your understanding. We thank you. With that, y'all enjoy y'all. Hey, peace, love, and unity, y'all. I saw you on, and
hate. I just got your text. I got your text just now on my other phone. But I promise you, we will cut that ghost individual. And if they would like to be a part of the next show, very welcome to that. Happy. Thank you. This is the extension of the show that is not being recorded. We're going to conclude this show. I thank you people for calling in. OG Mike, once again, contact me, brother. We're going to talk about this family. We're going to do our best to get you, get this guy, get these guys on, because these guys are very important. We respect their commitment. And like I say, listen to this show. If they will be very instrumental helping these guys solve the situation that they're going through. And with that being said, this has been the Movement 720. Thank y'all for calling. Good night.